Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Career 360, hosted by Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim, sitting in for Bernard Lim. Now, as we navigate the current COVID-19 crisis, even the most rigidly traditional leaders have been forced to rethink the structure of work and embrace alternative ways to adapt. Leaders who've long held fast to the belief that employees need to be centrally located in an office to effectively collaborate, network, perform, and undergo sufficient supervision are learning this is not necessarily the case. With flexible remote working arrangements becoming a necessity, the structure of work is being changed forever, and so must leadership style. Today we're speaking to Aralee Sada, past immediate president of Prime Time, on how the COVID-19 crisis is changing our approach to work and leadership here in Singapore. Prime Time is a Singapore-based professional women's association. Aralee, thanks so much for joining us today. Hope you're safe where you are.
Yes. Hi. Nice to meet you. How are you? Nice to be here.
I'm excited. It's Prime Time on Prime Time.
So, I know.
Good times. So let's talk about that leadership style, though, the commanding approach versus a more flexible approach we're hearing.
Yes, indeed. And that's a topic, you know, we hear and we see really are shed more and more often, especially after this crisis. But we saw the trend already starting, I would say, 1-2 years ago. And what we realize nowadays is there are some skills that we expect from our leaders and from our new managers. And some of those skills, you know, like typically related about resiliency, about empowering people, supporting ethical behaviors, or developing a new style of having meetings, allowing, you know, the right and a wrong conduct of people at the new remote office. That's a new change of behaviors, mentality, approaches, and some people didn't really understand that before the COVID crisis. However, they didn't really have a choice now. And what we noticed is there are really a lot of people struggle, but webinars and, you know, information, articles, and also the work we do, for example, in Prime Time, are kind of helping people to understand this new trend.
What other sort of skills are required, though, say, to now communicate and manage a remote workforce?
Yes, I would say communication is really like will be the number one. You need to find the right tone with the people. But also when we speak about communication, you know, it's also all the rules you have around just the verbal communication. Like how you want to interact with your team. Do you want to have like a daily catch-up in the morning, 5-10 minutes when you're just checking how they are? Or how are you going to even ask them, you want them to turn on the camera on because you want to see the body language, the expression. At the same time, where do you put the boundaries between invasion of privacy and the fact that you want to be here to support them? And this is all the kind of communication and discussions you need to have with them in a very transparent and fair way. You know, we all come with our own rules, our own tones, and our own beliefs. But now we need to be even more understandable to what the others we are working with.
Aralee, I understand, though, that circumstances have changed. And now, though, with the video conferencing that's helped in terms of, say, staying in touch with your team and all that, and then the wanting to see them, some of us don't want to let you see our messy bedrooms or our unchanged seats, for example. How can we strike that balance? Because, again, you talked about verbal communication. The nonverbal is equally important.
Exactly. And the great news is nowadays we have more and more communication tools to allow, you know, to blur the background or to put yourself on a nice beach or you're traveling, you know, on a stop trip, ships or whatever. And so on my day-to-day life, I'm part of Microsoft and we have this Teams, this tool, sorry, called Teams, where you can even, you know, have like funny tools and funny pop-ups. You can have a cat on the head or you can look like a potato, which is speaking. So what I mean is there are some team meeting that I have and I ask them to turn on the video, especially if you have to present something. On the other side, we have to be also understandable to relate to the personal seating they have. For example, they will share, you know, an apartment with roommates or they will have their family living with them.
Yeah.
So are they comfortable to show, you know, your mom or your background? Even if it's blurred, people will see. But indeed, with this background, which are totally like fictionist, that really helping in terms of seeing the face, but at the same time, putting some distance.
Aralee, how do you think we're doing so far managing this flexible remote working here in Singapore?
That's a very interesting question, because first of all, we didn't have the choice. So people have to adapt from day one to day two. And as you know, traditionally, we are more in a culture when we want to see the face-to-face. We want to be here. We want also to show to our manager that we do a number of hours, that the work that we do is rewarded to the quantity we produce. Mm. So from day one to day two, poof, everybody has to work from home, and you have to measure your work and your efficiency, not by the number of hours you're in, because honestly, you can trick your computer and just set it up, you know, on all the time. And your manager will see you're logged on. That is not true. But what I mean is that now it was really a challenge for the managers to understand, I need to find another way to quantify your work. And it's a conversation that people forget to have, but that's key. We need to define new goals and new metrics. I need to know what you have to do. You need to tell me that you have done it. How? And that's also going to a very fundamental value that people kind of forget when we were in a rush, you know, of working face-to-face. It's trust. How do you want to trust somebody that you don't see? So you have to build then also on communication about a rapport, a bonding. I need to know you. You need to know me. Because, you know, this problem related to communication is a two-way thing. As a manager, I'm worrying if my teammate is doing the work. Mm. But my team member is also thinking that I'm just watching Netflix all the day long and I don't support them.
That's
so
true.
So the trust is really to share what I'm doing, what they are doing. And also we create all these social relationships. Like one thing we do virtual happy hours. And by the way, they are going to start one in 10 minutes. And we do games. We just share, you know, our personality things. And we did also Zumba class. One of our team members decided to become a Zumba trainer and now he's giving us, you know, Zumba training and Zumba dancing. So this will help to build, you know, to know each other better.
The thing is though, Aurélie, trust was also something in question even when we were all still working in the same location. Hence the rise of presenteeism. Just because you're in the office doesn't necessarily mean you're doing anything. So that's going to change anyway.
I will say yes, and I truly believe in it. And the reason why is one of the key skills that managers and leaders have to build is also the respect and the empathy. Mm. So I have to trust you because I know I can let it go. I know whether I can delegate, but it's not like, you know, like trust yourself and I will just leave you the reins and you can do whatever you want. And that's going back to putting together these metrics and arriving on goals. Okay, at the end of the day or the end of the week, what are you supposed to achieve that we have agreed together on? And trust is working the same, you know, with a family. I give you the benefit of the doubt at the beginning. We do mistakes. So that's a key element that we need to take into consideration, especially with the empathy. But after two mistakes, you know, we are not also in a charitable organization.
Yeah.
Or people have to take accountability. So it's putting boundaries, but at the same time, people need to really let go and trust and empower.
Aurélie, is there a rule of thumb, say, for a professional setting? How many strikes before you're out?
That's a fair point. And I will say that's really depend on the individuals. But as anything, the rule of thumb is to be clear at the beginning. My team knows that if you do mistakes, which are different, you know, in essence, then it's fine because you are learning. You expect to learn. So do mistakes because this is how you try, how you get better. However, if you do
don't make the same mistake.
Exactly. Mm. I have no patience. So it's like one, twice, but then the third time, that's not going to be okay because you're wasting the time of the people training you, you're wasting my time, and you're wasting your time also.
We're speaking with Aurélie Sada, past president of Primetime here on Money FM 89.3. Let's talk about what needs to be done then as we head into recovery. How should the leadership style evolve along with recovery, post-recovery, etc.?
Yes. And of course, that will depend, you know, on the country and the regulation which are going to be applicable. But if we speak about Singapore, we know that we are not going to be back to work on the 1st of June, on the 2nd of June. Mm. And a lot of the companies will realize that during the past few months, this system worked. And knowing also the cost of physical office in Singapore, companies might take the approach of just going to a full-time remote working approach. And that's where the managers will have even to force themselves to kind of switch to a different approach. Now, the question is how you do it. If you're not face-to-face, if you're not sitting in office, you're not going to benefit from watching other leaders who are doing this well. So you are going to have a need of training your leaders and managers for doing this new approach. But how? And it's not asking people to do like a webinar for 2 hours, which are going to help. And so we go to the point that people need to practice, and you need to practice this new approach in a safe environment with people, you know, who can support you, not really people from work, because it would be difficult, you know, to try. And then if you fail, what's going to happen? And that's where Primetime was really having a good leverage point on that, because we are a professional organization where we help ladies, we help professional women to practice this new leadership approach, to try.
I see, in that safe environment, right? I thought, oh, practice it on my teenage daughter. Might not go down too well, I imagine, hourly.
You can try, but I don't guarantee the result. And my point is also to rely on the community. That's the key thing. And for Primetime, for example, before I became president, and now, you know, I carry over to Katia Meladze, our new president, we don't have CEO experience. But we came into this community and safe environment, and we tried, we made mistakes, and we were corrected. We took feedback, but we were never judged. And that's also the point that we need to be more conscious about, is the support and the empathy toward others.
In this current environment, though, I imagine it is challenging to all meet. Are you also doing it on Zoom and webinars and that sort of thing?
Yes, so I was tempted to tell you we secretly met, but no, it's not.
It's not a good idea. On national radio.
Yes, and that's what a very, very sad point, because as any organization, we were facing this challenge about moving to an association when we have 80 physical events a year.
Oh,
we
dear.
We are linked to our networking and our people, our members, and from day one to day two, it's over. So we created indeed webinar platforms, and we were thinking to do some happy networking, you know, remote networking. You have some limitation, but at least you can gain on the other skills you have to test and to try. Training program works perfectly well remotely. And nowadays, as this remote work is going to be the rule, well, people need to learn how you behave, for example, with a remote engagement. How are you going to do remote networking? That's a total new approach. So that's a new dimension.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, Hourly Sada, past immediate president of Primetime here on Money FM 89.3. Hourly, thanks so much for your time and stay safe.
Thanks a lot, Harry. You too. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.